Chapter of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. I'll try not to be very long. When I was in Alaska at the anchor, they sang for an hour and 15 minutes. Kind of felt like home, huh? Before they preached. I said, James, y'all do that every Sunday? He said, yeah, we do. The people here just love to sing. And I love to praise the Lord too. I think that's why we were created, to glorify and praise His holy name. And you know, we don't spend enough time doing it. I want to speak to you this morning about the bitter waters being made sweet. The bitter waters being made sweet. I don't think I've ever preached from this particular text, but I want to begin reading in verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. You guys remember what happened to the Red Sea? The people of Israel were delivered at the Red Sea. The verses prior to verse 22, they were dancing. Moses was singing the song of victory. Oh, the great deliverance the people experienced from Egyptian bondage and from the Egyptian army. They all drowned in the Red Sea, and Moses was singing. Miriam was dancing with tambourine. Notice there in verse 20. The prophetess Miriam, the sister of Aaron, took the tambourine in her hand, and all the women, they went out there, they were dancing and they were singing, they were rejoicing. Well, they leave the Red Sea. And the Bible says, and they went out in the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Found no water. Now keep in mind, the wilderness is a desert. A desert. The people of Israel leave the Red Sea and they travel through the desert for 3 days without any water. Now, water is essential for life. You need water, not just to wash your clothes or wash your body. You need water to survive. Water to drink. They went 3 days and had no water. Now, keep in mind, how were they traveling? Were they using a road map? No, a cloud by day, a fire by night. God was leading them. In other words, each day they would wait for the cloud to move before they moved. You know, Moses said, the cloud's moving, let's go. You know, let's go, let's follow the cloud. God was leading them. God was guiding them. God led them through this desert for 3 days. During this time, they had no water. You know, we go through dry times in our spiritual life. There are spiritual deserts that God allows us or leads us through. I believe during this time, it was a time of preparation for the hardship, for the journey. God had promised them Canaan. He was going to take them into the land of Canaan. But, you know, there's some hardships along the way. You know, this Christian life has hardships. Times of difficulty. Not only times of difficulty, that would have been a difficult thing, right? To travel with all of those people, your children, the camels, the livestock, the sheep. Everybody needs water. But for 3 days through the desert, they had no water. And then they come to Marah. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. The word Marah means bitterness. And the people, can you imagine? You're in need of water. You've been traveling for 3 days. You need water. Your wife needs water. Your children need water. Your livestock need water. Everybody needs water. And you're in a desert. And you come to water. But the water was bitter. That would have been not just difficulty, that would have been discouragement. God, you've led us to bitter waters. I'm telling you, sometimes in your Christian life, God will lead you through bitter waters. There are times in our spiritual journey, in this spiritual wilderness, and I believe the wilderness that they were going through is a type of pilgrimage of the Christian life. We have not arrived at Canaan yet. Oh, Canaan may be in sight. We may be getting glimpses of it from time to time. But we're in the wilderness. And during this time of journeying, we're going to come. God will lead us to bitter waters. Why would He do that? Why would He bring them to a place of disappointment and discouragement? I mean, think about the sudden change. 3 days earlier, what were they doing? Singing and dancing. Right? 3 days earlier, they were singing and dancing. And now they come to Marah and they found bitter waters. Now they're murmuring and complaining. Right? Oh, we had the privilege of drinking the water of Nile. They say the water of Nile was some of the sweetest water known to man, even to this day. They were drinking when in Egypt that precious sweet water. Now God's led them to Marah, bitter waters. You know, the evils of the wilderness are trying. There are places of peril for us as we journey for the Lord. Amen? There are places of peril as we journey for the Lord. And you know, Paul said, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. He said, "Do not murmur as they murmured and was destroyed by the destroyer." I'm telling you, friend, we need to listen to this message, because there are times when we're led to bitter waters and we need to know how to respond. Amen. The people murmured, but what did Moses do? Did Moses murmur? Let's read on here. Let's find out. The people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Now listen, if God is able to dry up the Red Sea and let them go across on dry ground, okay? If He's able to bring all those miraculous plagues in Egypt, I assure you, God had a plan. God had the power to take care of His people, Israel. And God has a plan, and God has the power to take care of His people today. Let's not get discouraged. Let's not be disappointed. There are times in our Christian life where we'll come to bitter waters. But God can turn the bitter water sweet. Yes, God can turn the bitter water sweet. What shall we drink? You know, what did Jesus prophesy concerning us? Do you remember what Jesus prophesied specifically concerning you if you're saved? He said, "In this world, you will have tribulation." Think about that. Do you believe prophecy comes true? Do you believe the words of Jesus are true? Huh? He prophesied something over your head, over your life, over your Christian walk. He said, "In your life, you're going to have tribulation." He said, "In the world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. But my friend, be of good cheer. Christ has overcome the world." there's victory. Yes, there's victory in this walk. Victory. Our faith produces and provides victory. If you'll add faith to the bitterness of life, you'll make the bitterness sweet. If you'll serve the Lord and pray, you'll make the bitterness of life sweet. Whatever trial or tribulation you go through, if you'll factor God in, you'll make the bitter things sweet. Oh, yeah. Well, they're commanded to move forward. And you know, forward movement many times is full of frustrations. You know, we can't just stay camped out by the sea, by Red Sea. We've got to move forward. We have to keep going. And we may go through some dry spells. Oh, don't tell me you haven't gone through some dry spells in your Christian walk. Huh? Don't tell me that. I won't believe you. You tell me that, I don't believe you're saved. There are times times where we get cold and indifferent. There are dry spells. And you know, it seems as though when we're in a dry spell, we find many bitter waters. Many trials or tribulations are factored in during those dry spells. Amen. When we're going through the wilderness and God has not provided us water for a while. But there's a reason God did this. You remember I told you He had a plan? He had a purpose for it? God does everything with a purpose. He doesn't haphazardly do stuff like we do stuff haphazardly. God had a plan. And even these scriptures, it tells us that He had a plan. He had a purpose. But what did Moses do? The people murmured? Moses prayed. People, we can get answers when we pray. Yeah, why don't you go to the source who can provide water? Didn't God bring water out of a rock? Huh? Didn't God provide them, as we read on down, manna from heaven? Quail to eat? Didn't God take care of them and kept them from being sick? I mean, their shoes didn't even wear out when they went through the wilderness. Amen. God protected them. God supernaturally provided their needs. He's going to supernaturally provide our needs. I believe all of our needs will be provided according to the riches of His glory. Notice in these passages, the people murmured. Listen, you don't get anything accomplished by murmuring about it. Complaining, moaning, groaning. Man, you are wasting good spiritual time. Oh, but praying. That's what Moses did. Yes, prayed. You might remember when Nehemiah realized the situation with the people of Israel. What did he do? He prayed. People all through the scriptures, when they ran into difficulty or trying times, they prayed and they got results. But when they murmured about it and complained about it, they frustrated God, angered Him, and the people perished in the wilderness because they would not believe. And I'll tell you what'll rob you of faith, murmuring. Huh? Robs us, it sucks the very faith out of us. It sucks the spiritual life out of us. Anybody been complaining lately? Oh, come on. Come on. Yeah. Most of the time we complain when we're you know, at the bitter waters. But Moses, what did he do? He prayed. Verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord. Now, we need to do that. There's times in our life when we're going to have to taste disappointment. There are times in our life, in our Christian life, when we're going to be discouraged. There are many reasons for that. Here in these particular passages, if you'll read down the last part of this verse, verse 25, it says, there He proved them. That's very important. There God tested them. You know, you can learn about the authenticity of your faith by the trial and test that you're put through. Gold is tried by what? Fire's hot, right? Fire removes the impurities from the gold, refines it. And we are refined and purified when we're tested, when we're put to the test. It's the pressure that makes us strong. It's pressure that reveals the authenticity of our faith and the power of our God. He did this. He allowed them to go those 3 days without water. He brought them to bitter waters to test them, to prove them. I think also to prepare them. This wilderness journey was going to be difficult. They needed to be aware of the difficulties associated with this journey. He wanted to season them for the days that lie ahead. Previously, they were celebrating. You know, we're like that many times. We'll celebrate. One minute, we're laughing. The next minute, we're crying. Huh? You see how fickle man is? His emotions, his feelings. We move so quickly from happiness to sadness. Right? One minute, we're up. Next minute, we're down. I mean, it doesn't take much for us. Even the church, to change on a turn of a dime, to change course with, rather than being glad, we're sad. To cause us like them, rather than praying, we find ourselves murmuring. People, we need to be very careful, lest we anger and frustrate God. How do we respond to bitter waters? We should do like Moses, and we should pray. You know, there's a painfulness associated with the way of Christ that all of us need to know about. They needed to taste the painfulness of the way. We need to understand that this Christian walk is a way of a cross. Amen? Jesus said, if you want to be my disciples, he said, pick up your cross and follow me. He said, he that did not forsake his life, he that did not forsake his life shall lose it. My friend, if you do not understand anything, you need to understand this. You need to understand that if you don't forsake your life and embrace Jesus Christ and walk with him, you will not know what life really is about. The true joys and the true happinesses of life is in service to God. And even if he takes us through bitter waters, we rejoice, don't we, in tribulation. Because tribulation worketh patience. Amen. How can Christians rejoice in tribulation? Because we know that God is working some greater purpose out in our life. We know that God is working in us some greater good from our lives. Because all things work together for good. Them that love the Lord and them that are called according to his purpose. We believe God. We trust him even if we must drink bitter waters. There are seasons of spiritual enjoyment, and there are seasons of frustration, disappointment. These trials many times shape us. Many times the trials reveal who we really are and what we really are. You know, Jesus in the 10th chapter of John, he said, you know the difference between a shepherd and a hireling? Y'all know the difference between a shepherd and a hireling? Huh? What did Jesus teach us in the 10th chapter of St. John? A shepherd will stay and fight for the flock. If a bear comes or a danger comes or some kind of threat comes, he will stand and he will defend the flock. He'll get between the flock and the enemy. What will a hireling do? What will a hireling do? He'll desert the flock, won't he? You know, I hear this statement, and I don't like it. I'll be honest with you. I'm just going to tell you up front. Pastors come and go. A shepherd doesn't come and doesn't go when there's trouble. A shepherd fights when there's trouble. He defends the flock. You don't run from the danger. I don't know where that came from anyway. Pastors come and go. I want to say this. I love this church with all of my heart. And I would lay out here on Galton Road and let all these cars that pass up and down this street run over me rather than let the devil come in here and destroy this flock. What does a hireling do? A hireling runs. Does not defend the flock. When we are tested, when we are tried, that's what reveals our true nature. The people here were discouraged. I want to say this to Victory Church. We've had a lot of discouragement here lately, haven't we? I've been disappointed. Haven't you been disappointed? I've been discouraged. But I'm telling you, the way of the wilderness is a way of discouragement. It is. You read in Deuteronomy and in Numbers, especially Numbers 21 and 4, it says, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Our soul is brought many times to dry or thirsty land where there is no water. As it says in Psalm 61 and 3, the Bible says, or the psalmist cried out to God and said, God, I'm seeking to have my soul satisfied. He said, my soul thirst for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Sometimes we get spiritually discouraged and spiritually dry. There are times where there is no water. Or we come to water and the water's bitter. Bitter waters cause people to do one of two things. Murmur or pray. The people murmured. Moses prayed. When we come to Marah, and I believe Marah is an emblem of life's disappointments. Have you ever experienced disappointment in a friend? A disappointment in your father? A disappointment in your mother? Have you ever had any disappointments in your children? You ever had any disappointments in your church? Have you ever had any disappointments in your pastor? Oh, come on. I know you have. Perhaps from time to time, I'm your bitter water. Let me assure you of something. Jesus will make the bitter water sweet. Amen. During times of disappointment, discouragement, oh, there's been projects we've had that's fallen flat. We've been discouraged. There's times where we wanted to move forward and we move backwards. Oh, come on. We take two steps forward and it seems as though sometimes we take three steps back. And we get discouraged not only with all the people around us, not only discouraged with our family, our natural family, our spiritual family. We get discouraged with ourselves. Oh, have you ever been discouraged with yourself? Disappointed in yourself? Sometimes our soul is a source of bitter waters. When Hannah, the Bible says, in bitterness of soul, she had no child. Job, because of his affliction, the losing of his wealth and his family, the Bible says that Job was in bitterness. Mordecai cried out when the decree came forth against his nation with a loud cry and with bitterness. Marah experiences of her own, we can reflect upon times of great bitterness. But there's a reason in them. There's a reason for them. And that reason is given to us in verse 25. There he proved them. In Deuteronomy 8 and 2 it says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Why, Lord? To humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart. Deuteronomy 8 and 2. Why was there testing? Why was there proving? Why was the 3 days of dryness? Why were there better waters up ahead? Because God was humbling them. God was proving them to know what was in their hearts, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Trials reveal the true nature of our commitment. Are you going to stay committed to the Lord if everybody deserts him? People, that ought to be our desire. That should be in our heart. If the whole world forsakes you, I'm going to keep trusting you, Lord. If I'm the last person standing, I'm going to keep serving you, Lord. Amen? Whether anybody else does, I'm going to keep your commandments. This is the kind of commitment we should have. And I believe trials many times will do that. The people were at bitter waters. Moses cried. Look at verse 25. And the Lord showed him a tree. I want you to know there is a cure. There is a sweetening process. God can factor himself into the equation and make your bitter water sweet. Showed him a tree. All right. Which when he had cast in the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance. A statue and an ordinance. Read verse 26. I'm glad God can make the bitterness sweet. What did Hannah do? As she cried in bitterness, she asked God for a child, and God gave her a child. Samuel, amen. Job, he was in bitterness. He kept praying. He kept seeking God. God did not answer him. Have you ever had that happen? Go long periods of time where God did not respond, God did not answer. I tell you, that was one of the greatest trials Job experienced. He could not get an answer from God. He was much like the psalmist. Lord, be not silent to me, lest I be like those that go down into the pit. He wanted God not only to hear him, but to answer him. Then God did, didn't he? God came on the scene in a mighty way and showed himself, revealed himself to Job. So in such a great way that there was no denial of God's power and God's protection upon Job. There was no denial that God was providentially working something great out of Job's life. And God not only answered Job, but restored Job all of his possessions. And he was no longer in bitterness. Actually, he doubled everything but his kids. And if you think about it, he went from byword to a benchmark. Because James will say, have you considered the patience of Job? Have you considered the patience of Job? Mordecai. God heard Mordecai's prayer. And, oh. We all go through experiences. Mara experiences, I like to call them. Times of bitterness. But God can show you the answer to remove the bitterness. Just like he showed Moses here. Take this tree, throw it in the waters, and the waters will be made sweet. See, I don't know necessarily what it will take to remove the bitterness from your life. Or to remove the discouragement or the disappointment. I do know this. That when you put God in there, I mean, if a tree, listen, if a tree will make the bitter water sweet, what about the cross? What about the precious blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary that ran down? What if it was factored into your bitterness? What about heaven? Really, the pains and woes that we go through, aren't they just nothing in comparison to the spiritual glory that we shall experience and that shall be revealed? Bitterness can be made sweet. God adds himself. And he brings not only sweetness, but healing. I want to read verse 26. I don't want to wear your patience. If thou wilt diligently hearken. See, God used this as a lesson to teach them. You know, there's many lessons that we've yet to learn. I know some of you think you've learned all the lessons God can teach, but you haven't. This church hasn't learned all the lessons that God has to teach it. We're still learning. And God says, I did this to show you something, to teach you something. And I believe every Mara experience that the church goes through, God is teaching her. Please get this. And we need to listen to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what are you showing us here? God says in this particular case, he says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am, and I think this is the key right here, here's what he was teaching them. He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, I am the Lord that healeth thee. God wants to heal us. And it is the Lord that can heal us. My bitter waters many times have been made sweet by the healing hand of God. Oh, how wonderful He is to come into our hearts and our lives and bring healing. Do you need healing this morning? I'm telling you, it's the Lord that heals. Is there some disappointment, some bitterness in your life, some discouragement? Have you come to bitter waters and you've not dealt with it? You've not thrown in Christ? You've not put Christ into your bitter waters? It'll make your bitter waters sweet. You'll thank God you went through all those trying times and all that trouble and all those problems because it shaped you and made you who you are today. There are lessons that some of you have learned through going through bitter waters that other Christians, well, they'll never learn. They'll never know. They've never experienced that. And I contend you don't really know it until you experience it. Oh, you may sympathize, but you don't really sympathize until you go through it yourself. People who have lost children, we may sympathize, but until you've gone through it yourself, you really don't know. You really don't know. Losing a spouse. You know, death is a bitterness, isn't it? There's bitterness in death. The bitter sting of death. You know? Doesn't Christ make it sweet? Huh? Doesn't He? To know that through what Jesus did. I mean, our Christ, our Savior, our Lord, did not only die at Calvary. Why don't you bring the resurrection into your bitter waters, Amara? Huh? I'm telling you, Christ is going to raise the dead. He's going to come with power and great glory. And the dead in Christ are going to rise. Y'all really believe that? Huh? Yes. I believe people with crippledness, blindness, other diseases. I believe the Lord is the healer. You might say, well, He hasn't healed me yet. He will on the day of the resurrection. Amen. I'm telling you, our Lord is the Lord that heals. Well, I appreciate your attention. God can make your bitter experiences sweet. If you'll pray to Him, find the solution. Let us stand and sing a verse of some song. All that will. Let's sing a song this morning. I wanted to help you guys this morning. I know a lot of you.